Pray with me. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. I guess I'll say a little more. Seems to me that recently people are struggling more than ever. Maybe the new year did not kick off quite like we expected. Perhaps I see the struggling of others more because I've been struggling myself. Friends and family on Facebook, members of our church have commented how much they're struggling lately. Perhaps some of you know what I mean. Perhaps you have those experiences of struggles this year. And it seems like one thing is added on to another, as if there's no end. It is as if some unseen, evil spiritual entity is determined to oppress us, to choke out the joy of life, to pull us back into the darkness of hopelessness and despair. So more than ever, we need to come here today to hear some words of encouragement, to feel the presence of Christ in our lives in the midst of His people. We need and we hunger for God's word of encouragement proclaimed to us. Before our gospel text, we are told by Luke that Jesus goes into the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath. We are given the first in Luke of an inside experience of the synagogue. Jesus stood up to read, as would have been the custom for a rabbi. He is handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled it. Could you imagine the drama, the anticipation, as he unrolled the scroll? And everyone waited to hear what he would say. He finds the right place where it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And after Jesus proclaims that he is the Messiah, the one anointed by the Spirit to set people free from oppression and darkness, he rolls up the scroll and sits down. And for a rabbi to read the Holy Scriptures and to sit down, that meant he was getting ready to tell us what those Scriptures mean and how we can apply it to our lives. Luke tells us that the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, eagerly anticipating Jesus' profound sermon. And then Jesus gives a sermon that is probably recorded in history as the shortest sermon ever. He says simply, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That's it. That's all he says. Drop the mic. He's done. That's his sermon. Because the meaning and the implication of those words are so profound, he doesn't need to say anything else. Jesus is telling them and us today that today is the day that Isaiah had spoken about. No longer do we have to wait for the Messiah. No longer did they have to wait for the Messiah. He is among them, announcing God's program to free people from their oppression and captivity of sin. In Jesus' ministry, he will give sight to the blind, which will include their spiritual sight as well. He will release people from the dark prison of sin and draw them into the light of God's divine life and overwhelming divine love. And this transformation in people's lives will move people towards social justice and hospitality. Jesus ushers in the acceptable year of the Lord, which is the new age of God's hospitality to the human race, which Jesus embodies and enacts. It's a time when people are accepted by God and they are shown divine hospitality and love. And so Jesus' short sermon is a summons to conversion and transformation. Is a summons initiated by Christ, offering acceptance, hospitality, and charity, and yes, love to everyone. But not everyone will be okay with this inclusiveness and acceptance Jesus offers to all. The gospel message will be met with resistance and rejection by some. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" They are amazed that such wisdom could come from Joseph's boy. But they also claim him as their hometown hero. They expect him to do miracles in his hometown of Nazareth and for his own people, not for those folks in Capernaum, not for those Gentiles. Jesus reads the Isaiah scroll announcing deliverance. But the people of Jesus' own hometown read the scriptures as promises of God's exclusive covenant with them. Covenant that involves the promises of deliverance from their oppressors. And they expect Jesus as a hometown hero to give them the blessings, give them the miracles, give them the grace. Their perception of Jesus, their perception of God and His promises are too narrow. Their perception of who they are and who they were called to be is too narrow. They perceive that God's love and mercy is only for them. And so they try to control Jesus, confine God's grace to only their needs. But Jesus' loyalty is not to Nazareth, but to God, His Father in heaven, and God's mission of deliverance for all people. And in the brand breaking of the gospel means speaking the truth and calling people out of the darkness into that truth. So Jesus reminds them of the scriptures that reveal Israel's own disobedience and God's grace given to the Gentiles. And how did the people respond when Jesus reminds them of their own scripture? The scripture that did not fit into their perceptions of themselves, their reality of themselves and God. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill in which their town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. For what? Because he offered grace and love to everyone? Now, depending on how deeply connected our identity is to our narrow perceptions of certain experiences and how we perceive the world, the more difficult and perhaps the more painful it will be to change how we see ourselves and understand who we are. Sadly, in rejecting God's grace to all people in the person and work of Jesus Christ, they deny themselves of God's grace in Jesus. And so he passed through their midst and he went on his way. Later in Jerusalem, resistance to Christ's good news of God's love, his hospitality and acceptance for all will also be rejected. And it will result on Christ's death on the cross. They couldn't accept that God and his works are greater than their narrow perceptions of him. But rejection will not get the last word. God will use it for his plan of salvation and new life for all people. On the cross, Jesus will pass from death to new resurrected life and go on his way to be with his Father in heaven. And he will make available to all people the hospitality, love, and acceptance of God. Through the cross, we share in Christ's victory and are given new life. Through baptism into Christ's death and resurrection, God consecrates us through the Holy Spirit to speak and to enact the gospel of God's hospitality and acceptance for all. And in Christ, embodied in the church, we reveal the presence of the Holy One who is anointed to release us and all people from the bondage of sin and death. So it seems to me, by accepting ourselves as broken, flawed human beings, accepting that we are daily in need for Christ to fulfill the Scriptures today, to release us from the captivity of our own struggles, our own anxieties, our worries, our own sin. Maybe, just maybe, we would be able to accept others who are broken and be able to see Christ in them. In doing so, we would be able to see where Jesus shows up in our darkest moments, giving us comfort and assurance of His presence. And we would see that no matter how much this inhospitable world tries to beat us down, we are not alone. We are never alone because we have Christ and we have Him in us. And He is more powerful than the world's struggles, our struggles. In Him we have the power of God to overcome, the power to conquer, the power to show up and to show out, to show that we are His. And through our struggles, Jesus has the power to strengthen our faith, to move us closer to God, and yes, use those struggles to give us new life, new, abundant, extravagant life, life of love for you and for me and for all people. Amen.